Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Lots of people, I think, were surprised by 2019. What happened? The global economic situation actually slowed. You had these rallies in the equity markets, right? General investors, people we talked to, confused about what was going on.
Well, I think it's more the investment community was surprised.
True.
The average investor was just happy.
Okay, that's a fair way to say it.
I don't think the average investor...
Confused but happy, you're right.
They were just happy. I don't think they were like, well, the economy's not going the way it should be, so why is the stock going up? They're just like, okay, this is great, let's just take it. Like,
yeah, you're probably right, actually. It's probably the investment guys were
extra
going,
potato
hey,
chips at the Super Bowl. No one's going to question why. They're just going to take it, right?
Yeah, like, fair enough. good point. Okay, so let's... I want to explore a little bit about 2019 and sort of how the year set up and how it progressed and where some of those surprises came from. But more importantly, then we want to talk about 2020. So given what happened in 2019, does any of that carry forward? What should we expect looking forward since it's the beginning of the year? Now, we've got a regular recurring guest joining us today to help us understand all of that, Miles Zyblock. He's the Chief Investment Strategist at Dynamic Funds. Miles, welcome back to the show.
Hello, gentlemen. Great to be here.
Well, let's start with this 2019 and how it shaped up. I think Faisal said it great. People were very happy about it. Not sure they question why when things are real happy. So fair point. Maybe they're not confused, just happy. But maybe give us a sense, Miles, from your perspective, take you right back to the beginning of 2019 and kind of what your thinking was economically, how the year was shaping up. And then just walk us through the year, how it turned out and where some of those surprises, if there were any for you, came up.
Yeah, I mean, look, as you guys have said, 2019 was a very good year for investors. It was, not quite that good of a year reflected in the economy. You had, you had U.S. equity markets up close to 30%. Europe was up something like 20%+, and the emerging markets, which were the real laggards last year, they were still up, though. They were up like 18%. But, you know, it wasn't just equity investors who did well last year. I mean, if you were in fixed income, whether it was, government bonds or corporate bonds, I mean, you were up between 6 and 10%. So, you could throw a dart into the asset pool last year and hit a winner, basically. And you know, that seemed to be a little at odds with the fundamentals. In essence, you had weak corporate earnings growth, weak softening, global economic activity, which was translating into weak corporate earnings growth. And in fact, global earnings were down last year about 6% or a little more than that. And the funny thing is you had weak corporate fundamentals and yet you had strong markets. And the year before you had strong earnings growth and not so strong markets. So, investing is a tricky game at points. And I think one of the big surprises last year for investors was the fact that central banks everywhere from Uganda to the United States were lowering interest rates. And equity investors, when they see lower interest rates, that means lower cost of capital and potentially higher valuations in markets. And that's kind of what was really, I think, driving markets last year. You also, by the fourth quarter, you had some good news coming out with respect to the UK and the Brexit situation, where the majority government in the UK gives them at least hopefully a little more clarity on how they're going to proceed by removing themselves from the European Union. And then trade. I mean, we heard, I think it was in September, if I recall, where trade frictions between the U.S. and China moderated quite a bit with this so-called phase one deal. So, you had some good geopolitical developments and you had some very, very encouraging rate cuts for equity markets. And I think that's what powered the most asset classes, but particularly the equity markets forward in 2019.
So when you look back at 2019, there were certain things that caught my attention, at least. Manufacturing was slowing down. There were still some signs that things were not going well, although the markets did well. Were there parts of the market that didn't do well? Because I'm looking back and I'm thinking the S&P 500, which is the 500 largest companies in the United States on that index, it was primarily the technology companies that pushed that market up. It wasn't, I don't think it was anything else.
Well, by definition, you have a market cap weighted index. which weights the stocks according to their size. And if those stocks are doing well, they're going to count for most of the gains. But you're right. I mean, look, there was some concentrated leadership in technology. But at the same time, you had some decent performance coming out of some of the interest-sensitive sectors like real estate, which were benefiting from, you know, declining or very low interest rates. So, you know, there was more places to go than technology. But you are correct to say that, you know, technology has been a big reason behind the performance in these global equity markets over the past year. Actually, over the past year, over the past several years now. It looks like the big are getting bigger and more concentrated, and they're preserving their monopolistic, or let's call it not monopolistic, although Google almost has a monopoly in certain areas, but they're preserving their pricing power and their margins because of their market power. So, yeah, this is sort of, you know, this tune keeps on playing where these companies are still very highly profitable and they're putting up good numbers. I mean, we just saw Amazon. Yeah, I think their earnings were out yesterday, and same story goes there.
So, Miles, and you know, part of the theme, which I think you've alluded to, is we had a price earnings multiple expansion, particularly in the United States, but globally, you know, pushing prices up. So it wasn't an earnings story that necessarily pushed valuations up. It was, you know, this multiple expansion that took care of it. So let's talk a little bit about what corporate earnings looked like last year, and then maybe we'll start to transition into, you know, what carries forward into 2020.
Yeah, so in 2019, I mean, corporate earnings were definitely under pressure. I think a large part of that was associated with trade frictions and the business uncertainty there. So you had very sluggish capital spending as a result of trade uncertainty. You know, world export growth or world trade growth was starting to contract. And because, you know, when you look at trade, 80% of trade is manufactured goods. You know, you had some struggles in the manufacturing sector, and all this sort of added up to put some downward pressure on corporate earnings growth. And like I said earlier, that corporate earnings growth was quite disappointing last year. I mean, we're down 6 or 7% in terms of growth rates. So that was, you know, I think a lot of that was literally tied to the trade frictions.
Miles, we also saw commodities take off last year. And we saw, and it was pretty much that gold did well. Mm-hmm. A lot of the commodities, if not all of them, did well last year. So it wasn't only an earnings conversation.
Yep.
It wasn't only, you know, a shift because of the central bankers. We saw commodities, and usually, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Miles, when the economy is moving forward or when the stock market is moving forward, gold generally doesn't do the same thing. And so, what did you find out from the commodity side, or what was your surprise out of the commodity side last year?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, well, my big surprise was palladium. I don't think, you know, when you're talking about commodities, that metal was up. I mean, it's huge. It put gold to shame. But you're right. You don't often see gold rallying strongly at the same time you see things like energy. But to be honest, you know, the moves in let's call it energy were very sporadic, and you know, it wasn't like a consistent gain in oil prices. They came out hot starting last year, and then kind of tracked sideways in a volatile range for most of the rest of the year. So if you look at the annual gains in WTI, those were pretty much front end loaded, and that was, you know, maybe the result of something overdone in the prior year. So, you know, admittedly, though, commodities were starting to behave as if, you know, perhaps we're getting sort of a leveling off in the U.S. dollar, which usually, you know, if you get a leveling off or a bit of weakening, that usually is supportive for the commodity prices. Maybe, you know, the commodities were also thinking, well, you know, if we get through this year with a little bit more policy stimulus, growth is going to be a little better, which is good for commodity demand. So I think that was what was going on. I mean, gold behaved pretty well throughout the year, and I think, you know, to be honest, that was just a lot of global investors saying, okay, we might be getting a little bit better tone to growth, a little more policy stimulus coming, but, you know, we're not so sure about that, so we're going to hedge a little bit at the same time. So it was almost like a barbelled approach where, you know, you buy some pro-growth assets like, you know, copper and oil, but at the same time, you hedge a little bit by adding a little bit to your gold positions. But because, you know, with hindsight, it all looks clear, but as you go through time, it's not as clear for investors. And, you know, there's still, for most of the year, there still were concerns about things like Brexit and trade.
Miles, we're going to have to take a quick break, so stick around for a moment. But before we do that, we've got to remind everybody about our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, so it was a surprising year in 2019 with the growth that they had in the markets, in every market. And so how do you manage your portfolio and your retirement when it's not going to be like that every single year? How the volatility, how do you get income for the rest of your life, so on and so forth. We're going to talk about that on Tuesday, February 18th, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats, so give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400, or you can register online at morethanmoneyradio.ca.
Okay, stick around after the break if you're interested to know what 2020 and how it's shaping up and how you should be invested. We'll be joined back by Miles at that time. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.